Hey, welcome to the new episode. What?
Sorry. Go.
Well, so those who started to hear me say it, welcome to the new episode of the Gen X Guy with myself, JD, and of course, good old Len, who interrupts everything.
Fuck you.
Selfie son of a bitch. Hey.
I know. Hey, how you doing? How was your week?
My week was fine. I haven't been doing too well on my March Madness picks.
Yeah, those got kind of, we had a little one for our team in at work, and yeah.
Who'd you pick to win? Who'd you pick to win?
I don't remember. I don't.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I can't
remember at least the one person who's going to win for you.
The thing was, is that I kind of just picked somebody else's map of, you know, for the bracket, and I just used that.
Fucking copycatter.
Yeah, that is pretty much it. That was
Who'd you steal from? Who'd you steal from?
I don't
know. Is it a coworker or?
No. Off online. It was one of those things I signed up for it and I forgot about it. And then I was like, hey, we need it now. I was like, shit. So I just went online, pulled one up and copied it on. Who'd you pick?
So I'm playing two. One with a group at work and then another one with my sister's former coworkers, so a couple. And I picked Creighton in one, which got destroyed last night when they lost, which my daughter, who is an alum of Creighton, told me I was crazy for even picking them to begin. If she has no faith in their team, I still stuck with it. I was a believer, man.
Wait, what were they? Where were they ranked at?
They were the 3 seed in their group. So it's not like they're a poor team. But, I mean, it's not like they're also pushing for consideration for national title throughout the year either.
Right. I had them going to Sweet 16.
There you go. Nice. So you're looking it up right now. That's fantastic. So the reason why I picked Creighton is because similar to, like, back in, like, I think it was 96 or something like that, I picked UCLA to win. And that was the last time UCLA actually won the national title. And that was also another one where they weren't really expected to win the title, but they did. So I won. So usually I've picked Gonzaga the last few years or some semblance of them, and I always fail because Gonzaga always screws me by losing. On my other one, though, I picked UConn. Interestingly enough, I picked UConn to beat Creighton. I mean, everybody's picked UConn. You good there? You okay?
Yeah.
Seemed like you took a brief stop because you disappeared for a second.
Yeah, same with you.
Oh, well, did you hear me? I said I picked UConn.
Yeah. Same.
Good.
Fantastic. I heard all that. It was only for a second.
Got it. So, anyway, tournament. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I've been playing some bets here and there. Not every game, just occasional games.
Like crazy.
And I'm like even. Nothing exciting.
You know, there was one guy on social media. They were betting $1,000 on all the underdogs.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it since then, but it looked like because of some of the upsets early and because of the odds, like they were making some money off of it. I thought that was actually pretty interesting to do because there's always those upsets. So I guess, you know, because you don't make any money off the winners really, or for the most part, you don't.
Yeah. So for the first round, I did similar. I bet everything under underdogs generally.
Yeah.
Just because, to your point, like the numbers, like when the bookies set this up, there's no true matchups they can really come to. They're just kind of assuming. Yeah. So you have a much greater chance of pulling off wins on that than you do once they start getting deeper into the tournament and they've had a chance to see how they compete and compare, then the numbers become a little tighter. But yeah, it was fun. I broke even. Nothing too exciting. I still got games today and then tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. All right. So when you were younger, did you play the tournament often?
Not really. Only when there was stuff at work. Honestly, I mean, younger as in how old?
I mean, like probably your 20s. I mean, that's when these sort of
things started happening.
Yeah, when it really kicked off was in the 90s. Back in the 80s, I'm sure some people were doing it, but that was more paper. It's like when we did the King's X. Remember? For fantasy?
Football.
Yeah.
We used to go to this bar that had fantasy football, and it was funny, like, there was like six different levels. And like our level was like about a total of maybe $1,000 buy-in for a team, right? So for each one of us, it was like $100, something like that, maybe $500. It wasn't that much. I mean, it was like one of those ones where, yeah, we put money in, but then they had the guys who've been doing it for like 20 years there.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs was like, their buy-in was like $5,000 each for each person. But then again, you know, the pool's a lot bigger. But yeah, we just had to like, I remember the guy that lived right by there, he had to turn in our lineup every Friday, like manually. Piece of paper, turn it in by Friday night. By Friday, like 10 o'clock or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then halfway in the season, they do a mid-season draft. So generally what it is you'd be, if you're one of the teams that's dwelling along the bottom because your team just sucks, then you go to this because you want to try and get some of the players that have surprised everyone.
Right.
And it will offer value for you. So,
Kitna.
Yeah, that was his personal favorite for the guy who was brought in.
Guy that brought in, that when he was just sold on Kitna.
No, I know.
Who was that one year that we picked up that just went off? Like, it's just one of those guys. I'm totally blanking. It wasn't Kitna, but.
Are you talking about quarterback or just in general?
I can't remember his quarterback, but there was like one
year. We had Sean Alexander had a great year for us.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was. Back in the time, because this was like, what, 97, 98, somewhere around there? We were probably doing that. So before the internet even created sort of the online versions, right. To your point, this is all paper. So you had to go sit down and do all these drafts and whatnot. But yeah, I can't remember. I mean, we had quite a few decent teams. One year we finished second, which was a nice pull. And then one year we finished last, which was fucking sucked from a cost standpoint. So.
Yeah, because it was one of those scales where, like, first place got this much, and then it was like a sliding scale. The worse you did, the more you paid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was you got back a certain amount of money at the end of the year. And I think when you were last, you got back nothing. Where first place got, like, a majority of it. But it was like that type of scale where you paid back or you got back only a certain amount of money the more you lost.
Yep. Yeah. Because you did side bets with every team, too.
Oh,
so depending where that's where a lot of it cost us. It was more the side bets. Because if you finish last and you bet everybody, now, of course, we'd be smart. Like if we knew we had a shit team that we drafted or wasn't an ideal team we wanted, then we tried to go lower on our bets versus when we felt really strongly about it, then we go super high.
I think the year that we went last, I don't think we went super high, but I think we're a little confident about our team. And it didn't work.
No, it did not. It definitely did not.
Remember draft parties? Draft parties?
Yeah.
Is before, so like for this one, we used to go to, it was a bar and they had, the night of the draft, everybody had to be in person. Obviously it was a night, you know, like it just, we didn't have that tech back then. But we used to go in, they'd had a prime rib dinner, remember that? And we used to do the draft all in person.
That's right, yeah.
But draft parties were actually really cool because you would see the table and you'd have like 20 magazines.
Yeah.
Remember all the different publications for that to be able to draft. And you're just fucking going through like a madman.
Well, yeah. And it's usually you'd come in and you'd probably, like if you did your due diligence, like we would, we'd sit down a few weeks before everybody would try and start pulling together names where they are. And then we'd work to try and at least come up with like our top 10 to 20 players, ideally top five in each division, group, quarterback, defense, and so forth, and just play it from there. But yeah, you'd still bring. I'd like go get those magazines, the fantasy magazines they had out there for fantasy sports.
Yep, yep.
And we just come prepared and try. Hell, I remember we'd go to the freaking store, the group of us, and start looking through some of them first to see which ones we wanted to pull and then bring them with us.
It was funny because you go to like a Barnes and Noble, right? Or wherever, but usually Barnes & Noble because they had the best magazine selection, or even like the Safeway by work. We would go to the magazine rack. But it's so funny because before the start of the NFL season, those were the magazines were all jacked up inside the store because everybody would pick them up and read them and not buy them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. Right. So, dude, that was fantastic.
And it was like, we would go like, all right, JD, you buy this magazine. I'll get this one. We'll get this one so that we didn't like double up. So everybody had, you know, different publications.
Right, yeah. Everybody had a focus point.
That was so fun.
I do remember one year that when we went to the draft. So the way you'd also pick, the order would be determined, is they'd have a deck of cards and they'd put out obviously 10 cards. Ace through nine, I guess, right? Ace through 10. What am I talking about? Anyway, we're sitting there and first they'd flip a coin to see who would get first pick, something like that. Or I can't remember how we determined who got first pick, but whatever it was.
I think it was the previous year's ranking.
Maybe, but we came in and we were going to be the first pick.
Yeah.
Or no, we weren't even the first pick. We were like the second pick because we finished like second last, your point. And as they're laying the cards down, one of our guys spots the ace, which is the first pick.
Right. Holy shit, I remember that.
And he's like, dude, I saw
Ron, that. Ron did that, yeah, right.
No, it wasn't Ron.
It was
Iyad. Yeah, Iyad was with us. He's the one who spotted it.
I remember Ron going up and picking it. And the problem is, he went up, grabbed the card, flipped it, and like, it was like.
Yeah, like he knew all along it was there. I know. It was a horrible thing to do.
That's right. It was like, dude, seriously? But he just went up, picked it, flipped it, and like just walked away.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. Yeah.
That was fantastic. A lot of people then were like, did you see it? No, man. He just was confident. He just went up there confidently and flipped it and just felt like he was there. So we just made some shit up. That was the one year we got the number one pick. So, and I think we probably finished, I don't know if we finished towards the top or we finished at the top. We never finished at the top. Best was second.
Was that the Alexander pick?
Probably, because at that time he was dominating.
Touchdown machine, remember?
Well, that's the thing. Fantasy nowadays isn't as heavily favored towards running backs. Unlike in the past, where that's all you wanted was running backs, because the running touchdowns were so much more than a throwing touchdown. And so that was huge. So yeah, Sean Alexander was definitely one we had.
Yeah, I remember that.
But so football side, I mean, so today the UFL, have you even paid attention to that? Basically, it's the combination of the XFL and the USFL have now joined. And today's the first, supposed to be the first day.
I may have to watch it. I've been meaning to want to watch just because it seems like they're just copying the NFL, starting to copy whatever they do.
NFL copied the XFL. That's true, not the USFL.
Yeah, but isn't this a combination of the XFL?
Yeah, it's a combination of them now. Yeah.
Same thing. It's like saying
it's not. No, it's not. The XFL used to be an independent league. No more. Just like the USFL used to be. Now they're joined, so they can't be stealing from the XFL if it no longer exists.
Whatever. Fine. You're right.
It's semantics.
You know what I mean. I know.
But it's funny. It reminds me of back in the 80s, USFL, when it first came out. And the Generals and the Stampede and all those and whatnot.
And they had the players.
Well, that's when they were the owners who were literally trying to find an alternative to the NFL and get competitive. Were going out and getting the best college players.
Yeah.
Who you knew would be number one picks in the NFL draft. Like Steve Young was one. I want to say Jim Kelly was another in there. I'm trying to remember who else. Doug Flutie was in there.
Flutie.
Although,
the defensive players I remember too.
Steve Young was the biggest one because he lasted like a year and then the league folded. And then he got picked up by Tampa where he struggled till he went to the Niners.
Yeah.
And that was because of him. More of this, the Tampa Bay sucked. One of the worst, historically one of the worst teams of all time.
Especially during that period. We had a friend in high school.
Creamsicles.
Remember Alex with that? So back in the 80s, if you look at the Gen Xers, definitely remember the creamsicle uniforms of Tampa Bay. But we had a friend in high school who bought one of their starter jackets. Remember Alex?
Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about. He was also a Celtic fan, which was a disappointment.
Of course for you.
And God, what else was he? I don't know. Who?
Was it Redskins?
No, I don't think he liked Washington at the time. He just did anything in spite of others. That's literally how he operated. That's
literally how he was. That's literally the type of person he was.
Yeah, he didn't care. He just, if you like something, he'd do the opposite in spite because he liked to be different, which is fine. But it was kind of funny. But yeah, the UFL starts today. So I'll be curious.
No, that's a good call. I didn't even know when they were starting. just been a little bit too occupied with stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. And of course, now I'm questioning myself if it's true, but no.
Oh, you're probably right.
I'm almost 100% certain, almost 100% certain that they are still
on. Is it
probably like Fox? Was it? Well, no, was it ESPN they got an agreement with? I think, yeah, I think it's ESPN or something like that they got an agreement with. And they start, yeah, their spring football starts today, right? Yeah, starts today. Oh, and they got coach, I'm just seeing a quick note from their X feed right now. Coach Prime is there in the house for the opener, so it must be near Colorado.
Nice, nice. Well, you know, I think he has enough money where he can go to other states, you know.
Yeah, and it is ESPN, by the way, because I think they have the schedule. Jesus Christ. As you get old, stuff becomes harder to spit out, apparently.
Hey, if people are watching this and they're right there with us, they should be. Or if they're not, they're just in denial. Fuck that.
There you go. Well, I mean, there's be plenty of people who are listening who may not be as adept to what we're doing or know the time frame, you know, what we're dealing with. Who knows? Who knows? That's my point. Anyway, but we'll see how that goes. What's that?
We just like mumbling and rambling.
Apparently. Apparently. Actually, it's Fox Sports that's going to show it. I take that back. Fuck, I don't know what it is. Yeah, Fox today.
There you go.
Birmingham against Arlington, 1 o'clock Eastern. So actually, it's on right now.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I guess I'm going to log off and just start watching.
Atta boy. Thanks for your. Yeah. No. How about the other one? All right. So 1 o'clock Western time. You have. Wait, hold on. Sorry, guys. I am trying to pull up the schedule. There's two games today, so don't worry. Even if you miss this one between Arlington and Birmingham, you'll have St. Louis versus Michigan a little bit later today at 1 o'clock on Fox as well. So don't worry. You got plenty of options. And then tomorrow they got some games. So you know what? You have plenty of football for you if you care.
And they only have 8 teams, right?
Yeah, it's a very small group.
Well, I think that's probably better. They're not going to if they try to field too many teams, it's just going to fail.
Well, it's like MLS originally for the soccer, right? Yeah. Soccer, MLS, they tried to start relatively small and have been expanding, and they'll continue to expand. But yeah, you're right. It's best to start small. It keeps expenditures down. You know, you can see how it progresses, and then it really catches fire. You can start expanding to other cities and go from there. Like Oakland, who no longer has the Raiders and no longer will have the A's. Who knows? Maybe they'll eventually get a UFL team. Or what's it called? The lacrosse league. Maybe a flag football league. Fuck, I don't know. Maybe they'll get something there. That poor city has nothing. And the A's are there, and they still have nothing right now. So
it's, you know, the thing is, there's some great parts of Oakland.
Oh no, I know there are, but there's bad parts as well. But that's true in almost every city, right?
No, like, I agree. I'm just saying it's sad that there's, but unfortunately, it's just overall, it's just not a good place. I mean, you know, I live 20 to 30 minutes away from it, you know, so it's, and I will pass through it every once in a while, but man, it's just the bad parts are bad, you know.
Yep.
But as a city, I mean, think about it. They, in a span of 5 years, they're going from having 3 major sports teams to having none.
Yeah.
Like maybe 6 years. I mean, we were in Vegas just, you know, what, a week ago, a week and a half ago or whatever. And, or 2 weeks ago, sorry. Fuck, I can't keep
talking. Okay, it's fine. I don't think people need accurate dates, but you're good.
I need accurate dates. But right. Yeah, we sit at the Tropicana, which is going to be the site of the new A stadium.
Which closed down, and now it's going to be torn down.
Yeah, I think we literally stayed there like 2 weeks before they were going to close down. So, yeah. But yeah, it's just crazy to think that the Oakland had 3 major sports teams. And it's funny, they were showing, well, not really funny, because I know A's fans and they're they're pretty diehard fans, but they were showing like opening day and they're saying that the fans are boycotting. It's like, is it really? I mean, it's kind of a normal opening day for them. You know, they had like 15,000, not even 15,000 people, like 1,500 people. I mean, that's like in regular age.
Is that all they had there at the opening day game for Oakland?
Yeah.
Was 1,500?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And that's not, that's first off, if it's even like, so you and I were actually, yeah, at a Giants game one time where there were, like, I was at one of the lowest attended Giants games ever in the history of that organization in San Francisco back during the 80s when they had less than like 7,000 people in there, which is a stadium that held 65,000. So,
good old Candlestick.
Yeah. Good old Candlestick. But if Oakland, if A's fans actually did that, I think that's good because, I mean, usually they'll show up for opening day. They'll get about 30, 40,000 because they just love the team, to your point, and they want to see them, and then they look like shit the rest of the season, and then they start to lose fans.
Right.
Or not lose the fans, but the fans stop paying the money because what's the point? Right,
13,000, my mistake.
So 13,000, still small in comparison to what that stadium can hold. That's not horrible. It is horrible, I guess, for an opening day game. 13,000?
No. Especially how big that stadium is.
Dude, so the stadium that they're going to build out here in Vegas is basically being called similar to the, or at least the roofing is similar to the Opera House in Sydney, Australia. So the way they're going to have the layering on top.
Yeah.
Dude, no one here in Vegas really wants them. No one wants them. The city decided, hey, let's just expand and bring a team in. It's like, if nobody wants them, and you know people aren't going to pay. Like, people are going to. If it was the Yankees who moved here, yeah, I'd sell out all the time.
It
never happened. I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And the Yankees, are like the one team that will never leave New York.
I agree. I said hypothetical, okay?
That's just stupid.
All right. The point is.
But they know that
it matters on the team. It matters on the team, and if anybody cares.
And people are. But the thing is, they don't care about locals. People are going to come.
No, I disagree. I don't think they're
going to do games. It's going to be part of the Vegas experience.
So I'll tell you why I disagree. I'll disagree with that. And you're not wrong to some degree. There will be some people who come and say, oh, let's go get your baseball game. But I mean, they're most likely coming from cities that they have baseball teams. So unless their team's there, they're not going to give a shit. It's not like it's going to reach out to them and say, oh, I should go check out the stadium.
I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to
want the Knights, the Vegas Knights, all local, are the ones who travel to those games. Yeah,
it's soccer on ice.
You're stupid, dude.
Sorry.
You tried so hard to sell that one, too. That was horrible.
Baseball is still more popular.
Soccer on ice.
How is it not?
Oh, I disagree. Baseball is not as popular than hockey in certain cities. If you start looking in geographies, baseball is losing.
Probably. That's
Did you
true.
Even watch any of the opening day games?
No.
Do you ever, I guess?
No.
Like, I'll be honest with you. I'm obviously a Giants fan, have been my whole life, but I kind of caught poor out of their opening day because part of it was also like it on like Thursday, like what, 1 o'clock or noon?
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to catch those. I mean, I can put it on a side TV somewhere and listen, but
that's the only time that we'll watch baseball. And even then, it's just background noise. I don't have the patience or time. The worst part is, I love like the aspects of baseball. I just don't have the patience to sit down for 3 hours and watch a game, at all. Like, I love great pitching, and all of that, the strategy of baseball. I really do. I just can't take it as the full experience.
Well, it's a slow game. It's slow.
And I just don't have the patience for it. I don't have the intention.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's even worse now. My back starts to hurt. I just want to get
Jesus
up
Christ.
It's all
together, old man.
Stop it. How's your neck feeling?
My neck's fine right now.
Right now.
If you're asking right now, it's fine right now.
Yeah, my back's bothering right now, so that's why I'm being a little bitch.
So is mine, but you didn't ask me about my back. So
True. Good point.
But and we've talked about this before, but baseball to me is the perfect radio sports to listen to. Like, you can put it on the radio. And the way they explain it is much more exciting to listen on a radio than to watch. Because I feel like I can see it while they explain it versus like football. Okay, we're going left to right now, or basketball. Okay, Warriors are going left to right, or like, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. It's like, okay, try and envision which direction they're going to and who's really getting the ball, because it's so much activity. You can't call that on a radio well.
But it's also, I mean, especially with a game like basketball and definitely football as well, but you have to see it. You have to see the athleticism. You have to see the oh shit type moments. I mean, that's like the whole point of it. You know, I mean, it's not to say that baseball isn't athletic. It is.
Well, I mean,
you know what I mean?
I've seen some players out there. They're heavier than me.
Well, I'm just saying, you still have to have that hand eye coordination.
Yes, totally agree.
Ball, shit like that. Yeah, and definitely with pitching, it's like when you see like a changeup that just you're like, holy, that was wicked. But for the most part, it's like, you know, you rarely see that type of stuff. And that's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, you may see that moment one out of 20 at bats.
Yeah.
But then that's, I just don't have the attention span for it. And look, it's been that way my whole life. I've always appreciated baseball. I just have never been a major, like, I'm not going to be the one that sits there and watches games.
Oh, you're going to say I was never been a major league baseball fan, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's where you're going with that.
I think I was going to mumble something to that effect and I ended up changing what I was going to say. So yeah, you're right. But well, yeah, it's just me though.
Well, no, you're not out of the ordinary. Like, there's plenty of people who feel the same way, right? Like, I look at baseball as if you're a diehard baseball fan, you love it. You love to go. You love to do absolutely. The score sheets. You love to do everything, right? Like, you really take it serious. Like, I've been to games where I see people throwing score books, like keeping score and tracking everything. And that's part of the ambiance, I think, for them. I love going to baseball games because they're fun, but I'm okay if I have to leave a little early. Like, it doesn't bother me if I'm not there for the full game. I'd like to, but to your point, like, it also depends on the teams too, and to be fair. They look like shit. I'm gone. Like, I'm not going to waste my time sitting around watching for the whole game. I'm not going to get stuck in a stadium again like we did that one time. My favorite
story about us is that L.A. Dodgers game where Oral Hershiser just fucking destroyed the Giants.
Even in a home run off of us. That's what was the worst part.
That was the single worst game to go to as a Giants fan. The score was like 12-0. I don't remember actually, but it felt that way. But
it was up there. You're not wrong. It was like a complete blowout.
He hit a home run. He destroyed the Giants single-handedly that game. They didn't even need the rest of the team.
Nope.
His home run, I think, would have just won the game.
We didn't score at all. We were shut out. He won it on his own if he wanted to. He
went on a bus. We thought we were doing the right thing. Hey, you know, we'll take a bus. We don't know how to drive. Don't know how to park in our traffic. And we had to stay through the whole fucking game. Stadium was fucking empty by the time we got to the bus. Like, by the ninth inning came out, and we were just sitting there like, honestly, I remember we were just sitting there like this in eighth and ninth inning, just like, can this just fucking end already? But yeah.
Our tickets were higher up. We eventually moved all the way down to the lower bowl because it's like, well, no one's here. Might as well.
And, I think the stadium was almost empty by like sixth inning or something like that because it was just over. Like, nobody had any faith.
So have you ever been to any – so talking about stadiums, because we brought up Candlestick, which was literally a giant toilet bowl. I mean, when it was originally built, it had an open back and the outfield was completely open.
Yeah.
And for capacity purposes, they decided to add more seating and then close it up. And it was one of the worst places when the winds came. The worst. How many stadiums have you visited over your life?
Not that many, actually. I was just thinking about that. I've been to definitely Oakland and then Candlestick and Santa Clara. So I've been to three in the Bay Area. And I haven't been to one outside of the Bay Area, actually, come to think of it.
Yeah, I'm not much further.
I went to a Braves game.
In Fulton County, in Atlanta during E3?
Yeah. For four innings.
Why only four innings?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, that was like 20 years ago.
Well, you've also been to arenas, stadiums, right? You've seen the Sharks play, so you've at least been to arenas. I mean, I know I said stadiums, but you've been to arenas at least too sports.
A lot of pro sports games, to be honest. It's not that many. One of the best ones I went to was actually, I think it's the A's farm team out of Sacramento, the River Cats.
Yeah. Yep.
That was I went there, and that was actually one of my best experiences because it's an intimate stadium. Like, you're really close. There was a lot more energy. People who go to those games are diehard. Like you said, though, they were all diehard baseball fans, or you had families. So you had either families or diehards who were just into baseball. They didn't care what type of baseball it was, as long as it's baseball.
Well, a minor league is different. Not to bring that up, right? Like, the whole experience is different. Like, they do shit between innings.
Yeah.
They have events. It's just, it's much more exciting, I guess, in that sense, because there's something always going on, which is fun.
But like I said, it's, you definitely had the families that were there for a family outing.
Yeah.
And because the price is minimal compared, like, the tickets weren't, I didn't remember how much they were, but it's the whole point. And even the concessions were, I mean, of course they're jacked up a little bit, but that's all you had there. You had families and you had diehard fans.
Yeah.
And like, the diehard fans were there, and they, like you said, it's so funny how much the statistics they keep, like, you know, they had everything, every little thing that they could track. You saw, and compared to like a MLB game where like it's maybe 1 out of every 1,000 is like that. At these games, right, 1 out of every 10 what was like that. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was a nice stadium too. It was relatively new, but it was kept up. It wasn't like, you know, you always see the stereotypical, the farm teams have like, you know, the rundown stands and, you know, nothing works. But Rivercast Stadium in Sacramento is actually really nice. It's just a great stadium. It was a great experience.
So to your point, I've been to one, the San Jose Giants minor league team.
Right.
Went to one game there, and that was a lot of fun. I agree. It's much smaller in scale, but a lot more enjoyable because of all the stuff they do. And you're right, there were a lot more families there. Actually, right by me, literally about a mile away from my house, is the AAA or the minor league stadium that they built out here in Vegas. And really nice, by the way. I mean, super nice. And I think it's an affiliate for the A's as well. So one of the A's minor league teams plays here. I'm not sure which one particular, but I've never gone. I've only gone to that stadium when they did like some Christmas enchant night thing that they do during the holiday seasons. But like you, similar, like, I haven't been to a lot of stadiums and arenas. I mean, I've been to, I've been obviously both Giants parks, right? The, or Candlestick and Pac Bell or whatever they call it now, or Park.
It's Oracle now, right? Yeah.
Yep. Same thing, Oakland Coliseum.
You went to the original Pac Bell.
Yeah. Exactly. Pac Bell, then AT&T, then Oracle. Yeah. Which is just, you know, naming rights. I've been to Oakland Coliseum, to your point. Been there for both a Raider game and A's game, usually against the Yankees, obviously. And then I went to quite a few. Now I start to think about it. I went to Oracle Arena out there in Oakland for the Warriors games in the past against the Lakers. I went to the new Chase Center in San Francisco.
That's the one place I haven't been yet. I think,
okay,
I think
that is super nice. Yeah.
Since the 80s, I think I've been to every professional sports stadium in the Bay Area. So San Francisco, Oakland, and then the ones we have in San Jose, which is the new, Jesus Christ, I'm forgetting what the name of the 49ers stadium is.
Santa Clara, Levi's?
It's Levi's. Yeah. And then the Shark Tank. But yeah, I haven't been to Chase Center.
Yeah.
One I haven't been to yet.
Well, and I've been to interestingly enough, when I went to Levi's, I didn't go for the Niners. I went to catch Manchester United against Barcelona. So for soccer, I think we went for one Niner game in a preseason. I can't remember, but it's such a pain in the ass to get in and out of that place. But out here in Vegas, obviously they have Allegiant Stadium. I did go there again, not for the Raiders, to watch Manchester United against Dortmund. So once again, went for a totally different purpose,
it was a nice stadium.
Yeah. It's a very nice stadium. It's well laid out. I liked it. And then inside California, I went down to Anaheim Stadium when the Rams used to play there during the 80s against the Niners.
Yeah, we'd go a
couple years in a row. We'd go during, I want to say it was Thanksgiving time or something like that with the families. We'd all head down there and catch the game. Caught the Monday night game with when Taylor caught 290-yard touchdown passes for Montana.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
That was fantastic because the Ram fans were super excited, and the Niners came back and destroyed them. So that was fun.
Yeah.
And I've been to like Yankee Stadium out there in New York, the new one. I never got to the old one. Never got out there enough to do it. And that's been, I'm sure there's a couple others I'm forgetting, but for the most part, I haven't really been out to your point, like as well. Like I haven't gone out much. It's funny when you talked about MLB and run down.
Sacramento Kings. I've been to the game there.
Oh yeah. I've been to that arena for.
Not about Sacramento. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's I went there for high school basketball.
Yeah.
When, yeah, that's nice.
The high school championship game as well. So I went for a Kings game at least once. I think, no, twice. But yeah, I also went there for a California State high school championship.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, same.
Where my son's high school team won.
Yeah, we went there for my daughter's, at the time, Sacred Hearts High School.
That, yeah.
They were ranked one in the nation. Yeah, there was that. And then, let's see. So I was thinking about when you made the rundown MLB. So it started making me think about the movie MLB, or, you know, Major League. And obviously it ties to the Indians, but that I'm not actually trying to bring this up to tie to the Indians, just the fact that it was rundown. But then it started making, so here's a question for you. Like, there's plenty of good baseball movies, but what's your, like, favorite of all time?
Just baseball?
Best baseball movie you've ever seen. Since we're on baseball, let's continue down that.
Edgar's Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That one's hard to not have at that top tier, right?
You know, I agree.
Just the idea of it. Major League is not, to me, it's not a baseball movie. It's more of a comedy.
It is a baseball movie.
You know what I mean? I mean, you look at it more.
No, I don't. It's a baseball movie, dude.
That is, I know what you
That's
mean.
That's more of a baseball movie than Field of Dreams is.
No, Field of Dreams is about the nostalgia of baseball, though. I mean, it's about the heart. Like, you know, if you want to go to the purist, it's about the heart of baseball type thing. What's his name? Durham.
Bull Durham. Yeah, that's another great one. Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Both Kevin Costner that you just listed off right there, and both really great baseball movies.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I think to your point, like, there's those two. Like, I mean, obviously, I would agree. If I had the option to watch these three movies showed up at the same time, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, or Major League, which one would I jump to first?
Mm.
To me, probably Bull Durham.
Yeah. Because it has a little bit more to it than the other movies do.
Yeah. Field of Dreams, to your point, is very specific. Like, very nostalgic. Like, it's really a driven story of why he's doing this.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But not to bring this up, but have you ever noticed when they want to create stories about sports franchises that suck?
It's always Cleveland.
It is, right? Like, why is it? I mean, you're a Cleveland fan. So
you're going to ask why. You know the reason why. Stop.
So the Indians have at least been to World Series. They haven't won them, but they've at least been there.
Well, not since 1946. I think that's the last.
Yeah, they're the longest one right now.
Yeah.
Still without a World Series. Or the longest time between that. Isn't a... no, even shit. Even the expansion teams have won. Florida, Arizona, and all those have won one since.
The Tampa Bay. They did, right?
Tampa Bay got there. Did they win it? I thought they won one. I could be wrong. Maybe they didn't. They probably lost. But yeah, Tampa Bay hasn't been around long enough. So from a length standpoint.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, dude, Draft Day, a movie you've never watched.
Nope.
It's about the Browns.
Nope.
I really think you should watch that because it specifically speaks. No, the clips don't do it justice. The clips don't do it justice.
I'm not going to watch it.
You literally, it basically shows the path of a fan of the Browns. Like, right now, because we're going, the draft is coming up in a month.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
You guys are getting excited. New season's going to start. There's hope, right? We're all excited. That's basically what the movie is. But then they never go into the season because you know why they don't go into the season? Because you'll fucking lose. It just kills the whole purpose of the movie.
Because whoever they pick would, you know, What did they pick the defensive end?
No, that one was the linebacker in the movie.
Linebacker, not defensive end, but he's an edge rusher.
Yeah, he's an edge rusher. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know the first game of the season, his leg would have fell off. Same. Actually, I can't say that. Myles Garrett has been great. So it's
I don't think your defense has been the problem.
Defense, certain parts of it, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true with every team. But if your offense was stronger.
I mean, if we're going to talk about reality, for us last year, it was just fucking nobody. Like, we had three times more people on injured reserve than any other team. It was fucking outrageous. But yeah, I can't watch anyone that. Look, Major League is pure fantasy, right? You know, what happens that year? That's just, it's just comedy for what it is. But I can't see something positive about the Browns until they actually win.
Yeah.
We won last year, but it's just hard for being a Browns fan. Because it's like, even after we win, let's say this year, just say, I know you're going to say it's just fantasy, and it is. We win a Super Bowl this year. I can just see the NFL revoking it the next day for some reason.
Stupid.
I'm sorry, but any Browns fan, any Detroit fan would say the same thing in Bills fan. I think in the NFL, our three teams are just like the same. Think about it. How did they fucking, in the end, I don't blame the kicker, but they got with the Bills, wide right.
Yeah, no, I know.
It had to be wide right. It couldn't be any other way. It had to be wide right.
Yeah, but it's just a playoff game. And let's be fair. And we talked about this one already, so I'm not going to jump too much more into this again.
Yeah.
But it's not the kicker's fault. Josh Allen was horrible. He was horrible. He missed on those final drive. He missed so many open players because he wanted to go straight for the end zone.
Yeah.
Horrible. So much time left. He was horrible.
I totally agree with that. And I love Josh Allen as a player overall, but his decision making is not just questionable. He just makes the wrong choices a lot of times.
Yeah. Definitely in that game, he did. He cost him.
And how does he fumble so much?
How's he what?
Fumble.
Oh, so, I don't know. He's a big guy, I guess.
Fucking huge.
Slippery hands, dude. I don't know. Maybe he's sweating all the time because he's nervous.
That's a good point. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe he's nervous when it's crunch time. He's like worried and his hands get sweaty. And then,
Well, that's what separates the Montanas and the Bradys and now becoming Mahomes is that they don't change. They play the same game. And I've always said this about what makes a great quarterback. They do not change. They don't rise above. They just don't change. It's to them, it's just another drive.
Yeah.
You can see how Mahomes is always relaxed. Brady was always just focused. And same thing with Montana.
Yeah.
I always use those quarterbacks because to me, in our lifetime so far, those are the three greatest quarterbacks because they don't. I actually think Aaron Rodgers is up there. His team just fucking fell apart around him. Remember that one?
So Aaron Rodgers, I think his success has been great. I think people have fallen. He's like a Dan Marino. Although he got at least one Super Bowl.
Right.
He throws up a lot of numbers, and he really understands defense well, but he always just comes up short. And he comes up short, and it's not always about his team, although sometimes he's had bad defenses, and I agree. You can't overcome
that Seattle playoff game.
Right.
Where he did everything to have him win, and his team just like, no, we don't want to. We want to go home.
No, I agree. And there's instances like that.
Yeah.
But there have been instances where they've been the best team, or should be the best team, and they only put up 14 points. Like, come on. I mean, granted, a great defense can usually hold a great offense lower, but if he's one of the best of all time, so they say, which we were talking about last time.
It's talent-wise, right?
Yeah.
I think great. There's no denying that just pure talent, and Marino is up there with him. Talent-wise, he is. But
my point is, if he's one of the greatest of all time, to your point, like Brady, Montana could read defense, knew what to go, and they'd make adjustments. He's making adjustments. They're just the wrong adjustments. And he wasn't able to get, I mean, the Niners just dominated him in the playoffs. Like he just could never get past them. And, and maybe it's because we just understand him so well. Plus his coach, you can kind of figure out what they're trying to do, but so I think, anyway, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Again,
I think like Marino, it's It's just what it is. I mean, it just, you look at Marino compared to Montana, and who would you pick? It was just on paper. Talent-wise, you pick Marino all day over Montana. But in reality, that's not how football is played. It's not a video game, you know, where it's just numbers against numbers.
No, I agree.
Montana. And same thing with Brady. Like, if you really compare Brady to a Manning,
yep,
Manning is better quarterback. If you just look at a quarterback, but when it comes to the game of football, you're going to pick Brady because of the other parts of it. Same thing, yeah. You know, what it is.
Yeah.
In the end, they still have to play the game. It still matters. I mean, end results is what really matters.
Right.
That's the guy.
Kid wandering by behind me.
Yeah.
So real quick, we'll be coming up. When we're talking about quarterbacks, we didn't really get into free agency, but there have been quite a few quarterback changes.
Kirk Cousins is – how has he made more money than almost any other quarterback in the last 10 years for one playoff win? He's one of those that is just an anomaly. It just blows me away. He's what he honestly is that quarterback that will get you the regular season wins. He's a Dak Prescott in a way. He's just the guy that you never want to move off of because the alternative is you may not win at all. And I think that's right. The reason why teams stick with a guy like him. He's going to win you games. He's going to be good enough, but he's never good enough to win a Super Bowl. He might win one, you know, and that'd be great. But quarterbacks like him, just they're not good enough to win a Super Bowl.
No, I agree. Well, and so he goes to Atlanta. All right, so you have him going to Atlanta. You have, of course, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields both going to Pittsburgh, which I find that one interesting.
What do you think of Fields? What's your opinion on Fields?
Fields, I still think I was never really sold on him coming out of Ohio State.
Same.
Because I felt he was, well, and I think this is true for a lot of quarterbacks coming out of college. If they're on one of the best programs out there, they already have the best talent, but they also don't run a real NFL offense. Mm-hmm. Like they tend to just always stay in a shotgun and they just let him run. He just runs around. His talent's good enough to get open. He just chucks it and they tend to get it. It's not just him. I'm just saying in general.
I was wanting to say a thing about Joe Burrows because look who he's throwing the ball to.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson, you know, it's like, okay, how can you not be fucking good with that team?
Right, but then he proved it with Cincinnati when he got in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Health is his problem, at least so far early in his career. It's been health. But for Justin Fields, like he showed good improvement. Like he wants to be good. See, there's a difference. He's pushing himself to be good. A lot of these quarterbacks that start to fail tend to tail off, and they just start to accept, like, well, maybe I'm not. Like he knows he can do it, or he feels like he can do it. I think he can be a really good quarterback. I don't think he'll be one of the greats, but I think he'd be a good quarterback who could start. And I think Pittsburgh, he probably fits better for Pittsburgh in the sense of they love to run, and he could probably run more than Wilson will.
Wilson's going to be 38 going into the season. I think either 36 or 38.
36, dude, he's not that old. Maybe Jesus Christ, you're aging that poor guy out fast.
I think going to Denver kind of aged him pretty well.
Well, that's another one. So Denver has no quarterback,
right?
Like they have their backups, but
same with Chicago right now. But of course, they have the number one pick. So
yeah, and Chicago's going to pick Caleb Williams.
Yeah, no matter what anybody says, he's going there, unless Caleb tries to pull a Eli Elway.
Like I don't think he will. I mean, he could, but I mean, he's not going to a shit team. Chicago literally got the number one pick because Carolina gave it to them last year. Yep. And Carolina did nothing, and they were the worst team in the NFL. Chicago was, 7-9? Like, they were actually swinging upwards. They were winning games towards the end. They were looking better and better. Then they trade the quarterback.
Their defense. See, but that's the thing. Think about Fields' highlights. How many of them are passing? Everybody always says, look how good of a quarterback he is, and they show him running.
No, I agree. He does a lot of running, but late in the season, his passing was getting better. Before, and that's why they were struggling so much, because when they had to rely on him just more, when he couldn't make the passes and he had to run more, they lost all the time. when he's finally able to start run, like move with the ball and hit, like he's a good, you roll him out, he can find somebody. Yeah. Keep him moving. He's not necessarily a pocket presence, and I don't know if he ever will be. No. Hell, even Mahomes doesn't stay in a pocket that much if you think about it. He's always shifting around. Yeah,
he's smart about his movement, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not comparing him. I'm just saying Mahomes can, it likes to move around too where he can, because he's waiting for Kelsey basically to run in circles in the field until he gets an open spot. And then
their chemistry is tier one.
Totally agree. Like they have it. It's similar to like Montana Rice.
Yeah.
Or even Young and Rice after that.
Or like, yeah, all of those great combinations you've ever seen, like, you know, Peyton and Harrison and just so on. It just.
Well, and back to your point about Burrow. That's why they got Chase Daniels. Yeah. They played together in college.
Yeah.
Put them together, you know, give him a target he's comfortable with, and it helps. So, but yeah, the free agency market is interesting because more on the quarterbacks, on, you know, lots of players shift as far as defenders, you know, defensive right. players, offensive line, you know, although I haven't heard a lot of big receiver switching so far, although they could still do it. But so far it's been mostly focused on the quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'm just kind of looking at the tracker. Calvin Ridley is really the only big name.
Yeah. He's the only one to really move.
Yeah.
But a lot of these teams are set up like the Raiders got rid of Garoppolo, who's now going to back up in L.A. to what's his name?
Yeah.
Stafford. Why am I forgetting Stafford's name? He's going to back up Stafford. And then the Raiders have no quarterback. They got Minshew.
Well, Josh Jacobs also left.
He left as well. I mean, I'm trying to think like, teams that don't have quarterbacks really right off the top of my head are going to be the Raiders, Chicago. I mean, Atlanta has Cousins, but they probably should get a quarterback to learn. So this is where your point about Cousins. He's that type of guy who can probably get you to the playoffs, just won't get you further.
Right.
But he could train. If someone underneath him, like a rookie, just watched him, could learn a lot.
No, like Raiders have Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I said they had Gardner Minshew.
Did you? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, but they have nobody. So they have Gardner Minshew. That's nobody. The one time he got to be a starter, he failed miserably. He's a great backup. He's not a starter. Yeah.
He's a guy that wanted as a backup.
Yeah, exactly. And then who got traded to the Eagles as the backup quarterback to Hurts? Christ, why am I forgetting his name? Oh, the former Steeler quarterback.
Pickens.
He got traded. Like, they gave up on him. Well, that one's interesting because they didn't really necessarily give up on him. When they traded for Russell Wilson and talked about him probably getting all the snaps with the number one team as a competitive, you know, but it'd be an open competition. He's like, no, I'm out. And I don't blame him. Like, you know, that's another example of like an organization that really doesn't know what they want to do. And honestly, if you're lying to this kid when you know full well you're getting Russell Wilson, you want him to come in and start, like, it makes no sense. So,
Well, yeah. You don't get. I mean, they got him cheap as fuck, though.
I mean, of course, Denver, yeah, like for 1.5 or 1.8 million or something.
Crazy,
like that.
But I mean, basically, Denver's paying his salary for the year.
So, yeah,
they got him cheap, but you don't bring a guy again. You're right; he's 36 during the season, but you don't bring a Russell Wilson in to have him be a backup.
Yep.
Honestly, they didn't bring him in to be a backup. But then again, because that's understand. He was horrible.
Well,
horrible.
No, he wasn't horrible last year. His numbers say differently.
He was horrible.
No. Was he? He had tough games, but he also had a coach who was a complete dick. I've never seen a head coach, and I'm not a Russell Wilson fan, but I don't even dislike him either.
Oh, I was talking about Pickens.
Oh, I thought we were still on Wilson. Okay.
My mistake, you know.
Pickens was horrible, yeah. But he's also, they took him because he went to the University of Pitt. He played in that stadium. He looked good.
They needed a quarterback, and they picked somebody. All Steeler fans were pitching because the Steelers waited so long to try to get the heir to Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
But anyway, I agree with you. I think he is one of the most overrated coaches of all time. He's an honestly, he's brilliant offensively, but I think that there's a lot of things wrong with him that he also
wins. Now you're jumping to Sean Payton, right?
Sean Payton, like going back. Yeah. Because you were saying he's a dick.
Yeah, but I wanted to make sure anybody listening understands where the hell you're going suddenly, because you just went straight to him without really saying why.
Yeah, whatever. So your point is what? You're right. I went back to. But yeah.
But yeah, he's like I said, I've never seen a coach. I was trying to think of words to say, but realistically,
I completely just went off the rails there. So yeah, let's get back on track.
But no, the issue I have with Sean Payton is, I've never seen someone ripping to someone on the sideline like that, like multiple times in a season, especially against a guy who's an All-Pro, you know, he's a Super Bowl winner. It's not like he's some like unknown.
Right.
Like he has a lot of, you know, experience, success and whatnot, and just ripped this guy. So anyway, we'll see what he does, because fucking Denver has no quarterback. I don't know who they're going to get. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I hope free agency picks up a bit more, because it's quiet, but the draft's coming up, and I think we're going to see a lot more activity either just before the draft or right after the draft.
Yeah, I didn't really follow college football too much last year, so I'm not really that versed on the draft, except for the whole Caleb Williams type issues that come up, but we'll see.
I agree.
So really quick before we end, for the draft then, who do you want? What position of need do you think the 49ers have or need?
I mean, I always say offensive line, because you could shore that up to help on the pass rush.
Right.
But really, for me, it's the corners first and foremost. You need better corners. I mean, they're pretty stacked. It's more about depth, I guess, at this point. It's really more about depth. If I'm thinking about depth, we can use a couple corners, but from a depth standpoint, that's why I'm saying offensive line and defensive line, because we lost Eric Armstead, who left, but I think we have enough young talent to fill those gaps. Mm-hmm. But because injuries happen so often, we just need more, you know, more future depth, I guess, in these young guys. So there's not really one particular position I could think of that they really need to hammer on other than cornerback, if I had to pick any.
All right.
What'd you think?
Same thing for the 49ers. I agree. I mean, I think their defense lives and dies by the defensive line. So it's one of those things where a great defensive line can hide a lot of issues with cornerback. So I think the 49ers have proved it over the last like 5 years by their high draft picks at the D line.
Yeah.
I think interior, like Armstead, like I think filling that gap would be good. But
agreed. And I think as long as our defense coordinator understands how to call a game late and not just play prevent against one of the best quarterbacks who've played so far.
I never liked, you know how I felt about Wilkes. When I signed him, I was like, he's that one who does well, but you just question him all the time. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't like him in Cleveland. I didn't like him in the 49ers.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see. We'll see how things go. But anyway, all right. Well, hey, it was great chatting with you again. Hope you have a good week for those listening. And appreciate everybody who joins us. Yep. And we'll come back next week with another one.
Another one.
Exactly. All right.
Bye, man.
See ya.
See you guys.